And, you know, when you think about 10Xing, you think about how do you grow, how do you automate, and you think about the fact that, you know, you might have thrown away a lot of names and numbers. I'm not saying that as like, look at my mistake. It's like, we just got to pay closer attention. You know, like that was just not something that was emphasized for me growing up, like coming up in the business, like, hey, names are important forever. It was like a follow up. But then, you know, like if you call for a long time, I mean, how long can you keep up a phone call for, right? A phone call is a very like, it takes a lot of time. You know, you can sit down and make 50 calls in a day, but it takes a lot of time to get through those 50 when now you can blast a simple email to 50 people in literally like a minute or two through a campaign. And even if you got to write your own broadcast, it might take 10 minutes, right? So it's unbelievable. So we can, that form of automation has 10x the speed, right? And then we can follow up with people through text and whatnot. So, but I think one of the biggest mistakes I ever made was that, you know, I got a lot of names and numbers, but I didn't covet those names and numbers, like really understanding that these could do something for me long term. It was just always like this, are they turning into recruits right now? Are they turning into sales right now? And if not, you know, it's kind of like they were in some notepad and most of them be dead and gone anyways. They wouldn't probably be worth anything at this point because people used to change phone numbers, you know, when they changed cell phone providers, you couldn't keep your cell phone. Now you can. And, you know, I've been doing this 16 years. So there was, you know, I've got some of those dynasty kind of conversations that, you know, don't happen if you're coming into the business now. But I just really wanted to make this focus on, you know, you're running a $0 to $10,000 base shop. You're not doing $1 million a month in securities, that kind of thing. How do I get there? What are some things that we can do that'll help to automate to free up the time, with the main focus being on that? Because as I said, if you try to make all these phone calls, they take all day. But now with automation, you can free up the time, not so you can go goof off, but so we can use that time more wisely to prospect in a, you know, more, get to more people, acquire more names, do more appointments, study for that license that you haven't passed, you know, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of these, of course, I think will revolve around Sales Team Pro because there's so much in Sales Team Pro that can make your life a lot better. But there's a couple of points I wanted to hit, and then we're going to open up pretty early and hopefully have a real open conversation today about different things that people can be doing at any level. So one of the first ones I would say is your calendar program. If you're not working with an Acuity, a Calendly, some thing like that. Okay. When I first heard that from Roy, probably, I don't know, a year and a half ago, that was like the first time I got an appointment set where I like send an email and somebody just set an appointment. And I looked at my calendar and there was an appointment and I was like, oh my God. Like I couldn't believe it. I don't know. Is anybody else on the panelist? You got your calendar program. The first time somebody set an appointment, you didn't talk to them. You didn't. It's like they got an email and they just booked an appointment. And did it blow anybody else away? Or am I just the only one that was that nerdy about the fact that like an appointment just scheduled itself? Yeah, Joe Casello, Anthony, everybody's flashing off. I was like, this is unreal, you know, because normally that's like a 10-minute phone call or something, you know, and giving them the address and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So that's huge, right? That can be done by anybody. You can be a division, a region leader. If you're doing a lot of appointments, right, and you're working, that would be a great feature to have, right? Because then that gets the Zoom link out. Now, just when you look at your time wisely and you think, okay, how often am I, okay, text, okay, Troy here, schedule an appointment with me. He says, okay, Friday at 7. First off, how long did it take to get to Friday at 7? You know, you're like, okay, what's better for you, Wednesday or Friday? And most time this is a text message nowadays. A little while goes by. He's like, Friday. You're like, great. I have 6 or 7. He's like, 7. Then you're like, all right, great. That sounds good. Here's my Zoom link. Then you got to go to your Zoom link. You got to attach the Zoom link and I'm serious, like 10 minutes wrapped up in setting this one appointment. Well, if you're setting 20 appointments, you got a time problem here. You see, when you could say, here's my calendar link. You'll see some openings for the latter half of the week. Just book what works for you. Done. It sends everything else on auto, right? So another thing that I've done for a long time is using Google Drive. I think that Google Drive is a huge thing that's just free and easy, and it works cross platforms between, you know, Mac users and PC users. And just to be able to use like Google Sheets to track numbers, which is like Excel, to be able to use Docs, which is like Word, right? To be able to use these to keep track of numbers, we've had an accountability. I had an accountability sheet with my team that they had to fill in, that, you know, full timers were filling in every day. I had a sheet for a long time. It was just like a fast start Google sheet, right? And my field trainers had access. They were shared to it. So it's such an easy thing. You just start a sheet, you hook your field trainers up to it or whoever, right? It might be you and one other person, but you can attach somebody else to it. And let's say three new teammates come on and you're looking at that and you go, okay, what do they need for district? What, this person still needs a license. You got like these little blocks, licensed, yes or no, right? You know, if they've gotten their first recruits, first sales, first whatever, but that should be digital, right? It shouldn't be on some like paper planner that like you can't see what your team's doing. You don't know who needs what. If one of your field trainers says somebody has a few people, you can track all of their people that way. Right. So it just enables you to kind of get a bigger picture where it can be updated, you know, live sort of thing. So another little one is I added a long time ago all my messaging apps. So I like, you know, on an iPhone, I'm sure you can do this on Android too. You can create like folders. So you can shove on your little home screen where you see all your apps. You can shove like all of them into one folder. So I have one called social media, and inside of that, there's like all these folders. Right, and the Facebook's in there and Instagram's in there, and LinkedIn's in there, right? But then I got another folder and it's just for messaging. And that's where my Facebook Messenger is. That's where WhatsApp, all those kind of things, right? My normal texting platform, all those shove into that little folder. And those little notifications are on, not for sound, because I need to keep myself focused throughout the day and I can't have those things going off like crazy, but I see the little ones or twos, you know, there's a little number there so that I'm not like swiping around forgetting which are my messaging apps. Because if there's anybody else like me, I'm sure, I'd love to hear about this. I get messages on like, I swear, like 8 different mediums anymore. You know, somebody might write me on Instagram. Somebody might write me on, now in Clubhouse, because there's a DM feature in here. Facebook Messenger, they might email you. They might text you, actually have your phone number to text you. It's like the amount of plate LinkedIn that somebody could be reaching out to is a lot. And I think you just, if you can at least get those to one place, like one folder, it's going to be a little easier to save a little time instead of like zipping around or forgetting or losing people. So I just really want to open up the conversation today for anything that people are doing that is just, you know, automating. It's helping. If you're somebody that's listening today, I would love to hear from you as well. Not just the panelist. So if you're like, we've got, you know, we started with this. I mean, most of the time when I find a cool technology or somebody's doing something, it's somebody that like that. It's somebody obscure found this out. You know, brings it to you and they're like, hey, I found this app. It's really great and it works awesome. And it's super helpful. So that's how I first found out about Telegram, like I don't know, over a year ago. So I wanted to kick it over to the panelists, kind of open up the morning. Today's going to be real conversational on this topic. We will be doing a follow-up, by the way, of some sort with Roy on American Funds and the kind of that transition or why he was talking American Funds. You know, why does he love them? That kind of thing. We're going to be doing a follow-up to that in some capacity, probably on Zoom, though, for everybody so that we can actually show some things, how some things are done, that kind of thing. So anyways, want to open it up. Anybody have anything in particular that they want to mention about any tech that you're using or things that have helped you to automate, which helped you to free up your time? And that could be for anybody in your shop. That could be something you're doing personally. And then STP, of course, is a huge part of this conversation. Because so anything inside of Sales Team Pro, I mean, is built just for that. So good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. So I'm going to talk just briefly on STP because I think we focus so much on the front end activity and tracking that front end activity. But something that I was never taught how to do was to follow up with the people that already said yes. And I think that's the power of STP is it's a way to track you actually following up your clients. Cause I mean, we've all been in the same boat. This person opened up a $50 pack. What the heck do I say to them a year later? I mean, it's like, what can we talk about with $600? But with STP, they're getting that value added to them automatically. So we don't have to sit here and think about the content that we're sending out or think about what the conversation is going to be when we call them. It's just already there for us.
Yeah, it's really good. So you're saying like if you're using the campaigns that are pre-written,
that kind of thing? Yes, and then also use the ones that are pre-written, but also have a marketing strategy. Roy is big about having a monthly marketing strategy. And that's something that I'm putting together with my new assistant is what is that strategy month to month? And it's mapped out and already scheduled by the first of the month. And then it's just autoplay. I mean, it's just going to go all month. And then that way everybody's getting touched. And don't overcomplicate things by trying to always create your own new content with STP. I mean, I think 2 weeks ago I sent out, and I just sent it out to everybody. I sent out an email wanting to update their information. And it says, hey, this is the information we have, your address, your phone number, send us anything back. I had 15 people respond to me that day, and one of which has about roughly $30,000 that she's been trying to move out of her old 401k. And now I'm calling and helping her with that because, you know, I hadn't followed up with her in some time, but because she got that email that was already pre-written and it was just a contact, it was a touch from me. You know, Bill Whittle always says you need to put your DNA on everybody, go around touching everybody. That's what STP is doing.
Yeah, that's really powerful. I mean, you just asked for a man, Mike, I think that there's every panelist, maybe we even talk about this for a minute, what I was talking about in that, you know, the amount of names and numbers we threw away, this and that, the clients, the life clients that we didn't follow up with. I mean, on this panelist, I mean, Troy would have probably the most to do with that. There's no question about that. Troy's written more life insurance than anybody up here. Like, how many life clients could have became securities clients if we were following up correctly, if they knew the whole time that we did that? You know, it's because people kind of pigeonhole us, right? It's like they get a life policy and, you know, after a year that's like, what does Troy do? Well, he sells life insurance. It's they saw a whole presentation, you know, they see everything, you know, but it's like people remember you for what they bought from you, right? And unless we're reminding them of everything else we do in some capacity on a regular basis, we're like guilty by association. It's like, well, he does mutual funds, he does IRAs, he does life insurance. They just kind of throw you in this pocket. And like, if you were Troy, I don't know if you're able to speak right now or not, but if you think about, if you could have followed up, if any of us were really taught to follow up with our clientele as we're building our clientele to really stay up with them, how much less like running around and prospecting would we have had to done if we were getting referrals, you know, like that. So good morning, Troy.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I think the biggest thing, that's why I'm on this call right here, because we're implementing everything. I mean, you know, I said it last time, without a vision, people perish. But, you know, I think it's the follow-up, you're right. It's so many clients, when you talk about, you know, let's say it's just 100 a month, right? Well, what if we had a way to communicate with all those people? I'm going back now and trying to just get emails and good phone numbers so I can connect with the 5,000, 8,000 plus clients we have just with life insurance. And most of them don't have a complete plan for, they, like you said, they see as a life insurance guy, right? Even though we did the F&A, we trained on everything. It's important to make sure that I'm just telling you, I'm on these things so I don't get left behind is what I'm saying. So I want to be on the front of the wave. So Josh, I that's the biggest thing I would say. Don't get overwhelmed by this. Welcome it, embrace it. and be around the ones that are doing it. I just appreciate you doing this call because I'm trying to put all my people on this call, you know?
I appreciate that. Like, how much further would you be, right? If you were, or where would you think you would be at if all these years, all your clients were getting contacted on all this stuff?
Well, I mean, the number billion just rings with me. A billion in assets is where I'd be versus 100 million. You know what I'm saying? So the reality is 10 times, just like you said, this call 10 times. But it may even be beyond that. I think, you know, we'd have more securities agents. We'd have more, it's unfathomable. You can't even calculate how much it would be. Because it's like you said, I mean, if we had this kind of communication and this kind of a way to reach out to people, I would have implemented that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We didn't have text messaging when Hurricane Katrina hit is when we started text messaging. Is that incredible? We didn't even have emails basically. Right. You know, so look how far technology has come. And like you said, I mean, look, I get messages from all over the place. Where do I freaking stop it? It's like, it's coming from everywhere, but we've got to embrace it. And I can tell you this, man, I'm on board, and all of our teammates are starting to be on board because the leader's committed to doing it. And I'm an action guy, right? I'm an action guy, but I'm forcing myself. I got a person that's on this call. I think it's Christy Freights. When the pandemic happened, we're sitting there saying we're the only two at the office, basically. And we're like, no, we're embracing this thing. I'm learning how to do this technology. You know what I'm saying? That's how important it is. So I would just tell you, man, embrace it, get other people that are good at it, and let's go make this thing happen, Josh.
That's good. That's good.
Hopefully that helps.
No, absolutely. I think it's just important to hear that, like, because if you were talking to below RVPs, new RVPs, that kind of thing today, that it's important to understand that, like, he's just said he would have 10 times the securities. He's thinking a billion in assets if he was paying attention to this before. Now, it wasn't even... We didn't even have the technology. I mean, definitely inside of our company, right? But the reality is that, like, yeah, it wasn't there, you know, it wasn't ready, but it's been there for a while and we still didn't have it, you know? And
well, Josh, I don't want to, I know I'm interrupting you here.
No, go for it.
You said you jumped on a year and a half ago and you were overwhelmed and all that stuff, you know? And I think I got up with Roy about a year ago. I just say this, man, I didn't ever hear this kind of stuff. And I think if I would have, I think, you know, and I've always said this, if the technical guys, the ones that do securities and the ones that are builders come together, it's a home run, right? Versus being separated. But I was like, okay, you know what? If I can get $5 million in assets under management, right? That's like overriding a regional vice president. So when I heard that, I'm like, wait a minute, what? $5 million in management, you know, $5 million in assets under management. Guess what? That's like overriding a regional vice president. Let's go get $50 million of that, right?
Right.
You know, and now you got $250,000, $500,000 in residual income coming in. Does this make sense?
100%. And then you start to think, okay, well, what if I got 10 first? I got 10 first and $50 million.
There you go. There you go. And you know, that's what I think I can bring to the table, because, you know, I don't want to just go out there and write investments, although it's the right thing to do for families, right? I want to have 100 people doing it,
right?
You know? So, and we help more families that way. So thank you again, man.
Yeah. Thanks, Trey. So any other panelists, some things you're using, and then we can continue the conversation. It can be inside of Sales Team Pro, things that you're doing that are working, you know, that help you to automate, to alleviate the stress of the day to day, like trying to make your processes run, you know, things like that. Maybe we talked about secretaries before. So maybe the things that they are using, anything that's helping to alleviate things, you know, and make things smoother so that you can work smarter, not harder. See if anybody, here will kind of get things going. Joe Casella. I know that you're doing tech stuff, man. I saw you starting to do Instagram lives. If you don't even talk about the automation, we can talk about your Instagram because it looks beautiful. Love the content. Love it.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, it's just staying in front of people. I'll tell you this. I had you know, yesterday I had a home inspection done on my house. And I told the guy, I said, you know, the only reason I called you and had you come tomorrow is because of something you posted on your story. And I said, you know, you totally changed my mind about Instagram marketing, because I've probably been following the guy for a couple months now. But that slow drip of just the constant stuff being out there. And then I just said, oh, crap, you know, I got to get this done. Let me call this guy. It's just the right time. So it's important, you know, and I was just talking with my website developer yesterday. We're making some adjustments that'll probably be coming out in the next week or so, but making it more of a flow of you're on my landing page. Here's quickly what we do. Here's how to find out how to do it. Follow these three steps. Watch the profile video, schedule a meeting, a complimentary meeting, which leads them right to the Calendly page. And now I'm working on something, just something they can download and hold on to, you know, until our appointment comes up in the next week. And one more thing, you know, with Calendly, Josh, I realized where I was making a mistake. I actually jumped on a Calendly webinar and it was absolutely awful. The people who hosted it, but I got one good thing out of it. And the mistake I was making was for my first time, like overview appointments. In other words, you know, your first kitchen table. I was giving people up to 30 days option to schedule with me. And one of the things that people said in the Calendly thing was no more than 9 days, no more than 9 days to schedule a first time appointment with you, because they're excited. They want to get it done. They want to get it moving. And if you let them schedule 2-3 weeks out, forget it. You've lost your chance there. So
do they block the calendar? Do you do some setting of, or something like that? Or do you just insinuate or try to push them to do it within a duration?
No, you can set the parameters of when they're allowed to schedule, how many days out they're allowed to schedule it. So if I pick, you know, I want to do a quick 15-minute call with Josh Mauck, and you might put on there like, well, you can only book it within, you know, one calendar week or 5 business days. It only lets you go out so far. And that's an adjustment you make inside the appointment type on the calendar.
So you can do that per appointment type. So if I got like investment reviews for clients, those can be wide open, right? Because they're existing clients. But then for my consultation talk, you know, because it's a lead that comes in online or something, that we can set a separate parameter.
Correct.
Got it. And that's a huge point. See, Joe, you know, you're like sitting there all quiet, bro. And I'm like, I know Joe's got something here. So that was fantastic. Wow. Great point. Okay. So anybody else, something like that, that's a huge thing. So he's using that technology. It's helping him to book appointments, make his life easier so that he can do more business and be bogged down less with other stuff, you know? So, anybody else got something there? If not, raise your hand down below and we'll love to hear from you. Todd Newkirk. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, Josh and the rest of you. Hey, I don't know how much value I'm going to bring to you with this, but you know, last year I was looking at all kinds of different podcasts to help me with my business, and I remember coming across a podcast, and it was a panelist of a bunch of financial advisors, and the thing that stuck out to me the most was they were all talking about how to have their whole system on automation. Automated leads, automated responses. I mean, just everything was automated. And I remember for months thinking, man, how do I get my business to that type of level? I mean, it totally made sense to me. And as you know, we just recently in the last 45, 60 days came on to STP. And this was like the solution to what we were looking for. And it's like, everything that those guys talked about doing at higher levels is what STP has opened the door for. And you know, we are so new at STP. One of the first campaigns we did was actually send out the end of term campaign. The only reason we did that is you told us, you know, print off two different, charts, like the assets under management report. And then we also printed out our end of term business report, because we've been in the business for a while. And I didn't realize, Josh, we had a list of clients that was coming up with the end of terms. And I just sent out that campaign. And I'm telling you guys, literally within a week, I got 6 people respond back. We've already converted or continued 5 of them. And guys, this is a big deal because I thinking back of my business over the years, how many of these clients that we just never did anything with? You know, they would get the packages in the mail and they would either send it into the company or a lot of times they didn't think they could afford it. And I was just thinking about this, like, man, how many end of term opportunities did I miss out? And because of these opportunities, we're also have found out there's about $1 million in assets under management that we're also going to be able to help these people. So I'm just a huge proponent of this. This is just awesome. And I see our business actually doubling here in the next quarter of what we've been able to do. So thank you guys.
So Todd, I mean, yeah, you're looking at doubling in the quarter, right? And because you're using Sales Team Pro, using automation, that kind of thing. And yeah, I think there's perfect example, right? End of term clients, these clients that, you know, need service, right? And then this has essentially made your life a lot easier to do a better job of servicing the client. Is that what it sounds like, right? It's like, it's made it a lot simpler to do that versus having to do it all manually. So, wow, that's huge. Yes, big thing for everybody. If you have Sales Team Pro, then what you need to do, without a doubt, is you need to download your AUM report. You got to. I know Roy's talking about it on Tuesdays. I'm telling you, I've been finding so much money in there. You got to download the AUM report. You got to download your active life client report, and then you've got to look at like your end of term report. I even pulled my terminated life client report, and we made sure all those people were in Sales Team Pro so that I could create like a separate group. We created a group for the terminated life clients, and then just start to reach out to them, see what the problem is, see what happened. Where did they go? Somewhere else? Did they just drop it? I got laid off for a while. There's a lot of that, right? People get laid off, that kind of thing. They haven't heard from us in a long time. They don't know they could lower it, right? And make it maybe more affordable during a hard time, but then they just drop it. Well, that's not good. I mean, that's not good for them, right? At all. So, there's a lot of these kinds of things that once you get your database cleaned up, you're going to be able to do a better job, for people. So, all right. What other tools, automation things are people using or doing that are helping out? I know Anthony Mercandante, you're doing stuff with Sales Team Pro. I know it's made a huge change for you. So I'd love to hear from you a little bit.
Thanks, man. Hi everybody. You know what I'll tell you is I think the best part of Sales Team Pro is it allows you to mine the gold that you already have. You know, I think so many of us in Primerica are so geared towards being hunters our whole career. That we really got to learn how to be more of the farmers of really kind of cultivating the relationships we have. And Sales Team Pro really does do that. And another aspect of the way it does it is I have so many clients, and I chuckle because some of you will probably laugh too, is they will say, oh, I didn't know you did that, but it came from a conversation and we've talked a million times and they've been a client of yours for years. But we take for granted that everybody knows everything that we do. And even our clients, you know, we assume that they know everything that we do. And you send out a campaign on, you know, whether it's prepaid legal or any of these other aspects of things that we do. And they go, oh, I'm interested in that. Or strangely enough, I had a client's daughter who said, you know, oh, I didn't know you do life insurance. And she's an investment client. And so she was getting a quote from AIG and they never followed up with her. So she ended up becoming a client through using the campaign. So there is so much gold in STP. If we really focus on cultivating that, I think that's really where we've gotten the most benefit from it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anybody else have something else to point out to that? I see somebody raised their hand. Give me a moment here. JC, I know you're working with the staff person's making some big changes for you, helping you out with a lot of things. How's that going? That was a conversation from a few weeks ago, getting staff, but how's that working out?
It's going really well. We're still working on getting the database lined up. We're putting out a campaign right now. We're going to put the retirement quiz out this week. But no, it's been awesome. She's taken so much away from me, but at the same time, just adding so much more value to my business. And as our database keeps growing, I got, like Josh, you mentioned earlier, and I'm not a pack rat or anything like that, but I have boxes of old FNAs that I wrote down everything and their names, their phone numbers, their emails. And so the next step is that she's going to start, well, once she gets all of our current database up to date with emails and stuff like that, we have about another 700 or 800 people that we need to get put in there. But I mean, that's just stuff that I would have never done. And I'm just excited to keep growing that database to where we can get over not 5, 10, 20,000 people in our database eventually, and just thinking of the possibilities. But you have to have a staff to do it. There's no way any of us are going to spend the time to do it. And it's just great to have that. So, you know, it's going well, man.
That's awesome. Nor should any of us do that, right? I think that's important to say. Even if you're a division region leader, if you're working and you're doing appointments, the reality is this: if you're a licensed, you know, you're licensed securities, you know, life, you're an advisor, okay? And you should be doing what nobody else can do, right? We've heard this a million times. We should be paying somebody to help with these kinds of things, right? And that can be with some of the stuff like JC was just talking about. He's got a box full of FNAs, and he says he's not a pack rat, which JC, by the way, anybody that kept old FNAs, okay, you have these plans from people. All right, you're going to be on the next episode of Hoarders. I don't care. You got some, you know, if you're keeping all that stuff. But I wish I did. See, I shredded it, man. I like, you know, it's like, oh, their clients, you know, or this didn't work out or whatever. You would toss it. You didn't know the value is in the email list, right? It's like I told you guys about Pier 1 Imports last year, when Pier 1 Imports, a bankrupt out-of-business company, gets bought out, okay, by a venture capital company, okay, that Ty Lopez runs with his partner. They buy it. I can't remember the number exactly, but I think it was $33 or $35 million. They paid $35 million for a bankrupt company. You say, what did they pay for? They paid for the email list and the name brand. They paid for the name of Pier 1, where moms all across America have been like buying stuff there for like 30 years. Okay. So they've got that brand. They got that name, Pier 1, and the email list. I can't remember how many people were on the email list. It was like a, you know, it's a big list, of course. And the list was worth $35 million, guys. So what, you know, what are names and numbers and emails of contacts worth over the lifetime cycle of a person, right? You never know. It's like, somebody might call you, be on your email drip for 20 years, right? And then finally, like, they retire, their dad retires, somebody, they never became a client. And overnight, they become a major client or something. You don't know the lifetime value of something or a relationship. And I don't think that we want to try to monetize it like that, because that's not what it's about. It's about human relationship, being, you know, like being good to people, networking with people, helping people to get more connected, right? That kind of stuff. But then what we're doing through like Sales Team Pro is education, right? If we're just putting out education, just tons of great stuff for them, they're just learning. And then sooner or later, they learn something that's applicable and they need to make a change. So good morning, Wendy. You popped up and you're off mute, so you get to talk. So are you using anything right now, you know, automation or anything around this topic?
Well, I think the automation explosion that we have has just been mind-boggling. It's a lot of work to get everybody together, but I had a thought just a few minutes ago when somebody was, can't remember who was saying something about sending out, you know, an email about the other products that we have. Well, I had a conversation yesterday with Tim Stiles, because, you know, I sent an email out about getting your will done, right? Getting your will in order. And what happened is that brought in a client who, well, for one thing, it brought in a client who's going to be retiring in a couple of years. So I was able to gather that information. I've got probably a $200,000+ rollover out of it. They're totally out of debt, but they're just clients that had been out there in La La Land for, you know, I inherited them when my RVP left the company. So in talking to Tim, I said, I've got all these PLPP things and I've got all these little things. So I'm actually, he said, just get one of your, you know, somebody in your office and have them be the home and auto specialist. Because I mean, looking at your, your last year's income. I mean, I made less than 5% off any, you know, anything little like that, like the home and auto and stuff like that, but they're very valuable. So we make our money in investments, insurance, and people under management. So, you know, finding somebody that maybe is part-time or just learning and having them, you know, kind of interviewing who wants to be my home and auto specialist, who wants me to send all my, you know, PLPP leads and automate that portion of the business. Cause you know, I have a client that it took hours and hours just because, you know, they're a big client, but it took hours of my time making sure that their home and auto was taken care of. And what do I make out of that? Right. So just finding somebody who wants to be a specialist in those portions of our business, I think would help streamline some stuff too. But yeah, this stuff is great. I've had so much fun, you know, everything going on. So anyway, thanks a lot, Josh. I'm just going to go back to listening in.
That's awesome, Wendy. Thank you. That's a huge point. Like somebody for all these little ancillary products that we do that don't make us much comp, which means that, you know, for us, it's not very productive time, but it doesn't mean people don't need it, right? I mean, I think that that's one of the biggest struggles in American business, in capitalism, right? Is how to find in your business model, how do you serve based on your expenses and things like that? How do you serve everybody? And that takes more work. You know, it doesn't take any work to think about the fact that, like, how do you serve somebody that's got $1 million? Well, that's easy. You're like, well, I'll clear my schedule and go deal with it, right? But how are you effective in helping the person who, you know, like when I got started in the business, I got started when I was 20, I was in college. Many of you won't, I'm sure, have never heard this story, but I was in college. There used to be a big outdoor stores all over the Midwest called Gander Mountain. It was like a hunting, fishing kind of Cabela's Bass Pro place, just a lot smaller. So I was a manager. I started there at 16. At 19, I was a manager of a couple of the departments and stuff. And so at 19, I'm the youngest manager in this corporation by like 10 years. The next oldest guy's 29 in this, you know, billion-dollar company. So I'm like a kid while I'm in college and I'm in management here. So I can't even get the 401k. It's in their bylaws. 401k doesn't start till 21. I guess they wrote it that way because they never had anybody in management and even hardly in their 20s, let alone in their teens still. So I couldn't get the 401k. So I talked to my store manager, who is this like interim guy. He came from Cabela's and he was like a fixer. You know, he came to our store because it was underperforming and he was going to like turn this store around, right? So we got along really well because I was like the hardest working manager there and really cool guy. And his name was Tom. So he was like 56 and he's actually the guy who taught me the rule 72. He was a cash millionaire. He had his money with A.G. Edwards, now Wells Fargo Advisors. And he told me to go get a Roth IRA, to buy, large cap equity funds, that kind of thing, like try to build a little portfolio, right? And he explained that. And he said, go to my guy, open a Roth IRA, and start putting money into it. And so I went and saw that guy, and I made an appointment, and the guy saw me, right? And he saw me because I was referred by Tom, right? But it's not in Wells Fargo's business model for Wells Fargo Advisors to make money on accounts that are small, right? So, and we all know that, right? These, you know, my old friend from high school, he doesn't do trades of under $1 million at his firm now. That's a single trade, $500,000, $250,000, you know, we hear a lot of different numbers there and it all depends on the firm. So basically I went in, I told the guy what I wanted. He seems cool. He probably thinks, you know, my dad's got money or somebody died or something. Right. And I tell him I want to open an account with $1,500, $1,500. And I want to pack monthly $75 a month. And he literally laughed. I mean, he actually laughed me out of his office, told me to come back when I had some real money. He like kind of like said it in this like smug, trying to be nice, like, but kind of being a jerk, you know, like at the exact same time, kind of way. And so I was like, okay. So I left and I've always tried to remember that because we've got to work it into our model, right? Where the reality is if you want a 10X, if you want to blow up your business and do something huge, you do have to figure out how to work in the $500,000 plus zone. You got to get there. Okay. You can't be still piddling around with packs when you've been here 10 years. It's crazy. You know, like that's silly. But I think we do have to, because you got to be more productive so you can make more money for your family. And that also the clients who need that kind of service that you're willing to provide, the kind of expertise and know-how that you're willing, that you've paid the price to learn so that you can be good at your craft, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? That you deserve higher end clients, and higher end clients deserve somebody like you. And you need to think like that. Okay. But then we also have to figure out in our model, in our own individual models, and it looks different for everybody, right? And how you run your shop, but we have to figure out how to help the 19-year-old who's got $1,500, wants to put in $75 a month. I'm not necessarily going to meet with them myself because it's not a productive thing. Okay. But I'm going to make sure that somebody does that, that that gets handled by somebody who's competent, can do a good job, put them in the right place, and then service and take care of that person through correct follow-up to create a lifetime client. So I just think that that's really, really vital. And because that, I mean, that's where my like burning passion comes from, right? Is like wanting to drag some smug, you know, wealth advisor guy across the desk. Cause you know, I worked at a hunting gun store, you know, I grew up in a small town, you know, and grew up a wrestler. You know, you don't like kind of like mess with kids like that usually, cause we've got a short tempers. It was like, well, those things, and I still pissed about it. Right. And that's my story. I didn't own a whole life policy or this or that. I got told I couldn't invest. Right. So anyways, went and bought a sweet shotgun though with that money. So anyways, I want to open up maybe on that topic is maybe a better portion for a little bit. I want to open up on that, a little bit, and then we're going to get to some Q&A to kind of wrap up, the afternoon here. So, anybody, you know, in your model, you figured out how you can be really productive, but you've also figured out how to make sure that we can help everybody who needs help. Anybody, anything to kind of say to that point? Or did I go on a rant and blow everybody's head off? Not really sure which of those went down just now.
So Josh, I'll chime in here. Cause I, you know, this is probably a limiting beliefs on my part, but I don't feel like I'm ready for that yet. I've got, you know, just over 200 clients. I can still work with the $50 a month PAC people, but I need to get my mindset to that level. But for everyone starting off here, I think Josh just cast a vision of what we can do here. What's another way we can get free is having people in place like this that can deal with the $50 PACs, the $3,000 rollovers, the smaller accounts, so that we can still have a business model that takes care of your middle class and the little guys. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we have to be on the ground floor running that. I think you do have to be for some time as you're building your client base. But Josh, every time you talk like that, it recasts that vision for me. Like, all right, I'm not the one that has to drive around and open up $200 packs for the rest of my life. I can hire someone, and you know, that feeds their family and gets their book of business growing. So then they can be set free on down the road as well by putting the same system in place. So I think that talk intimidated me at first whenever you were talking about, you know, having other people do the little rollovers, and your little rollovers are like less than 50 grand. And I'm down there tracking down every $30,000 rollover I can find. Cause that's my wheelhouse right now. But no, hopefully that helps some of you guys like they're just starting off that maybe don't think that big yet, but you got to understand in the investment game, Howard Lashner on the MPI call, I think absolutely crushed it a few weeks ago, how he doesn't sit down with people anymore that have less than a quarter of a million unless it's a favor, unless he's doing it as a favor. But he has people in his office that deal with all of his clients that have less than a quarter of a million. So it's people that do it and can do it well, but hopefully that helps a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thinking comes first, right? That the belief comes first. I mean, it's like you got to believe you can do big rollovers, work with big clients, that kind of thing before you'll ever do it. You know, just like we have to believe you're going to be a regional vice president, or, you know, when you're a a new entrepreneur, you have to believe that you can make $100,000 a year. You know, it's all belief, right? I mean, you got to get that part nailed. And when you believe that you've gotten the skill down, the professionalism, the systems, the everything, that you're like, I deserve to work with higher end clients, you'll start to find those, right? So that's the other thing, because people tell me, I won't really run into it. It's like, well, you don't really think you're worth it. You know, it's a belief pattern at the end of the day, is where that kind of starts. So I don't want to run out of time here, Beth. Beth from Canada, you've been up here for a little bit. Sorry, we're just getting to you, but wanted to see if you had a question. I'd love to answer it. Good morning.
I have two technical ideas, a question, and a thought about team building.
Awesome. Go for it.
Bernie and I have been plugging into the Larsons, and they're they're an awesome technical hierarchy. They up here in Canada, well, in the U.S. as well. Yeah. They plugged us into Otter, OTTER.IA, and I'll put it in the Telegram chat. It is basically, it's a dictator. So yesterday I went to an appointment. I got out in my car and I just talked into Otter, and it transcribed my thoughts into words, and then I copied and pasted it into CRM, so our branch manager and auditor can see that when it's that time. And also, we got turned on to Blink, B-L-I-N-Q. It's a digital business card that has a QR code that you can put on your home screen.
That's huge, Beth. Those are two fantastic ideas. Thank you.
And I'll put the links in there.
That's great.
And then our question is, I know how JC was talking about hoarding F&As. Well, we've kind of hoarded based on recommendation of kind of like keeping your tax returns for 10 plus years. We've hoarded trade booth ballots that can have names and numbers and emails. Do we ever go back and touch those again? That's our question.
Okay, restate that one more time for me. Sorry.
So we've done trade shows and
yep.
and family fairs and events, and have had ballots that have had asked for names and phone numbers, and sometimes people put their email in there. And obviously, due to COVID, we haven't gone out for one for 2+ years. Do we ever go back and touch those again?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, you want to put those people into your Sales Team Pro. And you want to reach out to them. You know, you could create a special, you could create a separate group, like a custom list that said like this trade show or something where you got them from. Okay. And add them to that list and then reach out to them and tell them, hey, we met at this trade show 2 years ago and we never had a chance to connect, you know, and then you can write them a nice little email and you can send a broadcast to them. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because that was back in the day, our branch manager kept saying, you know, we can't email, but that was pre COVID and everything. Yeah. And then Bernie and I have always had a team building thought of building a diversified team of a multicultural, multi-generational, because there would always be someone in there that would connect better, especially living in the Vancouver area. There's a lot of different languages, and I, coming from the States, I know English and Spanglish a little bit, but all the different languages. So that's just an idea. And being a Gen Xer, I kind of don't understand millennials all the time.
Right. Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you for the great points. Absolutely. Ray, I want to open up for Ray. Go ahead and ask your question. Good morning. Welcome to the room.
Hey, good morning, sir, and thank you for inviting me up. However, I think Hope was there before me. I don't know if Hope, you want to go first. You know, being the perfect gentleman,
I might have been out of line there. I can't remember who came up, but go ahead. You're speaking now. She's on mute. Go ahead. We'll grab her after.
Okay. Hey, Liz, I just wanted to add that when we talk about automated and stuff like that, that Sales Team Pro is so robust and so good that being out here in these, as they say, in these clubhouse streets, a lot of these CRM systems, people are trying to sell, like the Sato and all these other ones. You know, they're paying a ton of money for these things. And by us being a collaboration with each other, Sales Team Pro is definitely well worth it. But we have a lot of tools at our disposal. We have LFIC videos, which are good for recruiting, Sales Team Pro, good for the CRM and the follow-up. B-Dollar Smart is definitely a closing tool that we all have put all together. You know, I just wanted to throw that out there because, you know, those are, I mean, we just got so much more. I started in 2016 and some of these tools were just like getting started, like Sales Team Pro. And man, I mean, we just have to use what we have and we got to adapt to the new times. And Clubhouse is also a tool. Remember, everyone on here, whatever level you at, you can start your own room and also collaborate like we're collaborating with you right now. And we definitely can move this to the next level and become and use Clubhouse to authenticate our authority in our field. I'm Ray Perry and I'm complete.
Thank you, Ray. Really appreciate that. Yeah, some great points just about, you know, not forgetting LFIC, not forgetting, you know, B-Dollar Smart is a great option as well. Yeah. Wow. So there's so many things that I think sometimes it can get overwhelming for folks, but the reality is that overwhelm, we talked about this a while back. I think it was Joe Casella and I had gotten into that topic about how overwhelm, you know, is good. You know, it means that we're driving. It means that we're pushing ourselves. We're stretching. It's just like pain in working out or something. So good morning, Hope. I'm hoping that you can say something and we're good to go here. So good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me up and thank you for Sales Team Pro. This is new to me, so I can't talk much about that. I'm just now diving into it, but thank you so much for that. I'm excited to get started with it. But one of the things that I wanted to tap on is a lot of people speaking about not having the time to do the mundane tasks that actually gets you to the money. One of the things that I've been using is a virtual assistant, and I'm not sure how comfortable everyone here is with that, but it has been a game changer for me. My virtual assistant takes on all of my tasks that I don't either have the time to do or have the time to learn. For instance, I am not a big social media person, but everyone in my circle believes that I am because my virtual assistant completely controls my social media. So all of the posts and everything for my social media is on automation because of my virtual assistant. And I wanted to share the company that I use. It's called Starfish Enterprises VA. And it's starfishenterprisesva.com for anyone who wants to jot that down and contact them. And these are degreed professionals. Yes, they're, you know, in the Philippines, but they speak very good English so far, the ones that I've used. And I pay $5 an hour, and I think that's invaluable for someone to completely take over those tasks for me. And I can throw her any task that I want. And she'll figure it out if she doesn't know how. And like I said, for $5 an hour. So I heard a couple of people talking about things that they don't really have time to get to themselves. You can hire a virtual assistant to do all of that while you still go out there and go get the big money. I just wanted to share that.
Hope, so that's fantastic. That is a fantastic point. I think we talked about that in like one of the very first Clubhouse we ever did. So I'm thankful that you brought back up a VA, a remote VA. So yeah, I've used some people in the Philippines before for a couple of things. They, you know, Dean works heavily. Dean Francis, his whole new Finn website and all that's built by VAs, I think in India and or the Philippines as well. I mean, we're talking about highly skilled people, as she was saying, that know what they're doing, that can actually be your Sales Team Pro, like add your names and numbers in, you know, all that kinds of stuff. these people. We're not giving nothing in Sales Team Pro as account numbers, social security numbers, anything of that nature. We're talking about names and phone numbers that can be found anywhere online if you do enough digging. So we're not dealing with personal information like that. And then things like, you know, using her social media, huge, huge point. Wow. Really great. So any last point from anybody wants to wrap us up, before I close? Actually, we got Leah. Sorry. One more question. Leah, go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I have been on STP through my RVP, and I love it. I've been trying to plug in all of my contacts and really getting things going. I have a business degree, and before I joined Primerica, I actually worked for another insurance company, and I won't go into that story. But I learned very well how to prospect, but I never had a CRM here, and so I really have been loving this. So my question is, because we got grandfathered in through my RVP, that's great, but I've been wanting to upgrade and it doesn't seem that I'm able to. Do you have any idea if that's going to be something I'm going to be able to do to upgrade so that I can actually send out blasts and things like that?
Right. So Leah, are you a regional vice president now?
No, I'm working on that.
Oh yeah. You'll be able to be upgraded once you, so you're on their, your RVP's team link, right?
Correct.
Yep. Once you promote to RVP, you'll be able to go to a max account, and that's totally allowed. You're a user now, and you were, you know, that kind of thing. You'll be able to go to a max account once you get your promotion. Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. So your main focus is finishing your promotion.
Yeah, exactly. I'm working on it.
Good.
I'm studying for my 65 right now. So I'm just slowly getting everything I need to get
on
my ducks in a row.
Awesome. Yep. Well, thank you. Great question. So that goes for everybody. Of course, if you're in a shop, when you go to RVP, you'll be able to upgrade your account to a max account. They're not allowed to add new RVPs from the outside who have not gotten in, but if you're in a shop and then you can get upgraded, cause you are in Sales Team Pro already. So I think a great topic, really excited, big group today, over 100 people on the call again. Hopefully everybody got a lot of value from, we kind of jumped around and stuff, but follow up, use automation, make your life easier. And we will talk to you guys next week. Really excited about next week. Don't even know what we're talking about yet, but it's great. I think every time we all get together and we brainstorm here and hit some of these topics. So thank you to everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to y'all soon.